You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
Welcome to Live and Lead for Impact. I'm Kirsten Ross, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. You're in for a real treat today because I have Matt Hug. Matt is the president and founder of Nonprofit Courses, an on-demand, online educational resource for nonprofit leaders, staff, board members, and volunteers. He's also the author of The Guide to Nonprofit Consulting and teaches nonprofit management at several universities via the web and in person in the United States, Africa, Asia, and Europe. Matt's past work includes fundraising for several nonprofits. He has an MA in philanthropy and development from St. Mary's University of Minnesota. And I am so excited to have you here today, Matt. You are, not only are you making an impact through your own work, but all those nonprofits that you're helping are out and making their big impact in the world. So it's amazing. So thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much. No, it's I really enjoy what I'm doing and that kind of iteration and being able to help so many organizations. So it's great. I'm thank you for recognizing that.
Yeah. So tell me, do you have kind of a clear vision? Like, what impact is it that you're motivated to make in this world, as broad and as wide and across the continents?
Clear vision? Oh, I don't know. Clear vision on things. The impact, I really, and honestly, it took me a while to get to this because over the years, you know, you're, at least I was fine. Well, what do I want to be when I grow up, right?
Yes.
You know,
what I've had that conversation with myself many times.
Exactly. And I found that the more I listened to other people about what they told me I was good at, or at least what they thought I was good at, the closer I would come to that answer. And it felt really good to me to teach. I've mm-hmm. always enjoyed it. I've done it since high school in an environmental ed program we had at our high school where we taught kids all sorts of things at a local park. And I've taken that to the specialty, which I've really grown to love, which is fundraising and nonprofit management. And yet it wasn't a straight path at all. I mean, it bounced around, but it's kind of come down to something that I'm where I need to be right now, at least.
That's perfect. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a 20-something-year-old yesterday who was feeling really anxious because she doesn't already kind of have that all figured out. And I told her, I said, oh, my gosh, you are exactly where you should be at this point. And it's cool that you're even thinking about it. Because, it can take years to hone it down. And I love, too, that you know, I often walk clients through, first figure out what your strengths are, what you love to do, those gifts, you know, that you would do for free, even if you couldn't get paid, and you can do it for 8 hours, and it feels like 15 minutes has gone by, and it comes easily to you, like those kinds of things. That's the first part. And it sounds like you identified teaching kind of early on. But then it's, where do you want to use that? What outcome do you want to create? And so it sounds like that was your little windier path, but that you're there and you've honed it over years.
And also learning to listen, not only to myself, but to other people about what little indicators they were giving me that, hey, you know, you should go further in that direction. That at the time, you know, my motivations and my where I saw myself was different. And mm-hmm. in retrospect, looking back, thinking, wow, that's what they were telling me. I just wasn't ready to listen. Right. And I'm not sure they overtly were saying, you know, Matt, go set up a website where you bring in, you know, hundreds of courses for people, you know, to do this and throw out your own there too. But little things like encouraging me to, instead of go to a conference to sit in the audience, go to the conference to stand in front and show people how things are done.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Or when one of my volunteers, one of my board members said, you know, you're really good at teaching this stuff. Those are nice little indications that I should have listened to louder.
Yeah. Good advice for people who are listening to this thinking, yeah, I am in that space where I'm not exactly sure. Well, as you kind of mentioned your website, why don't you talk about that a little bit more? And you guys can find it. I'll have it on the show notes for today's episode as well. But nonprofit.courses, C-O-U-R-S-E-S, which is also a new little extension that I wasn't aware of anyway for websites. But why don't you explain what happens there?
Yeah, nonprofit.courses is, like you said in the introduction, it's an on-demand, online, I like to tell folks, cost-effective way of getting information, getting education and training in the nonprofit area. And I want to be clear, you know, I love, first of all, I think going to graduate school, getting formal education is huge and important, and you need to do that. And I will always say that I read and learned more in the intense crucible of going through my philanthropy and development program at St. Mary's than any other time in my fundraising career. So that's great. And then going to seminars is really good. Keeping up, networking, meeting people, and that's really important too. However, there's a huge gap out there when it comes to having to get stuff now, getting the knowledge you need today to accomplish what is expected of you, in fact, that very day. So I kind of think of it this way. So if you're in a nonprofit and you're a staff person and your boss wants you to do something like write a direct mail letter that you haven't done before, well, go to nonprofit.courses. There's a course there. And by the way, most of them are free. Some of them are paid, and those are really good ones, but a lot of them are free too. So, you know, look around and you'll find something there on, say, writing a direct mail letter that you can use today and apply it right away to whatever task you have. Alternatively, if you are, say, an executive director and you're going to have a board meeting on planned giving, which is a pretty sophisticated topic that not a lot of people know about, even in broad strokes. So go to nonprofit.courses, find, and I'll tell you, there are lots of good videos on planned giving. Find one there on that, and then ask all of your board members to look at it before the next board meeting. Now folks are ramped up and ready to go and have that conversation where before, I've been in those like cold start meetings where, okay, you know, let's talk about a topic and nobody's kind of prepared. Well, this at least gets their head into it some. So those are some of the uses for this. They're largely videos, largely webinars from all over, pretty much from businesses, some associations that are specialists in these areas. I have some rules and everybody agrees to them. They're all educational. There are no infomercials. And yet they can use their branding in it. They want to show their expertise. So for the content expert, it's a content marketing. It's showing that they're really good at something that you might want to use more of their services for. And that's fine. And for the learner, it's just good information to have to be able to apply directly to whatever you're doing in your nonprofit.
So I love that. As a person who's sat on nonprofit boards, there are definitely times when you have so much paperwork to dive through that is specific to the topics that you're going to be discussing, and how great to have a resource where you can watch a video versus read some more stuff, you know, where you know it's going to be quality content. So that's, I love that idea. And of course, how great for people in the nonprofits. I mean, time is often limited and money is often limited. And so if there's a more cost-effective, time efficient way to get the knowledge that you need to do your job better. That's wonderful. What a great, great resource. I was really excited to learn about your site. So, is there something specific beyond, you know, kind of finally listening to people and them kind of guiding you in a direction. Is there anything that's happened in your life that kind of motivated you down this path of working and teaching, using your great gift of teaching with nonprofits?
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about, or at least you gave me some things to think about before we got into all this, before the podcast. And the thing I think it really made a difference in my life was scouting, was actually being part of the Boy Scout program when I was a kid. It was formative for a lot of reasons. I was not the most athletic kid out there at all. So it gave me a real sense of belonging that I didn't have as being part of a team of some sort. But it also showed me how you present something makes all the difference. I mean, I saw kids who were not the best academically, but they achieved great things and, you know, became Eagle Scout and got all sorts of merit badges and things like this because it was a different kind of learning. Mm-hmm. It appealed. It wasn't just sitting down and being in a classroom kind of learning. It was hands on. They were doing things that motivated them. I mean, kind of, you know, Daniel Pink writes about this in his book Drive, that, you know, the things that kind of motivate people to get out there and do whatever they're passionate about. So, that. Really made a big difference at a key time in my life, which was really huge. I was always grateful for my experience there. And I've gone on, when my son was in scouting, you know, I kind of passed it back and became a leader in his programs and kind of kept in touch with it here and there since then. I even worked for the Boy Scouts for a while early on in my career. And that's kind of what got me launched into nonprofit work was being a district executive for the Boy Scouts of America in Cape May County, New Jersey.
Okay, great. Yeah. So can you think back to one particular impact, an outcome of your work that really even catapulted your passion more or your motivation to focus on this? Is there one kind of specific?
You mean the focus on teaching generally or nonprofit?
Nonprofit.
Specifically?
So yeah. Is there one that, you know, once you were teaching in the nonprofit arena, is there one impact where you heard back from someone that you keep in mind? That, you know, because there's going to be tough times and struggles and, you know, that you can kind of reach back and go, yeah, but I made this impact. Uh-oh.
I don't know. I'm trying to think about what that might be because I've run into I'm grateful that so many students have come back and said, like in the beginning when I was teaching, my class was required. When I was teaching at Eastern University, it was required in a program on nonprofit management. And I had a lot of a nice handful of students who said, well, you know, my organization gets money from the government all the time. We really don't use fundraising. I don't know why I'm here. And then, you know, years later, they would come back and say, boy, I'm really glad we had because the government money got pulled out from under us.
With the change.
So that's always been good to know. I did a series. You talked about working in Africa and Southeast Asia in the intro. Eastern University had a contract with World Vision at the time. And I'll tell you, those guys, I stand in awe of the work they do all over the world, and also IJM International Justice Mission had people with us too there, and I was one student in particular was a I don't know if you know IJM does anti-trafficking work around the world and. A lawyer from Mumbai ends up in my class, and she's doing really fine work. And she asked me later, and we kept in touch. She asked me later about recommending her to Cambridge, and she got in. Even more great work based on her degree from there. she, I mean, they, all those people from working in difficult parts of the world come to mind. The ones that here in the U.S., a lot of people working on really tough causes that are that they're very passionate about mm-hmm. for their personal. I also think about folks who really honestly, I don't want to say shouldn't be in it, but are there's kind of a subtext kind of joke in the nonprofit field that, you know, somebody has a tragedy, the first thing they do is start a nonprofit, you know. Right. And it's like, you know, really, you know, that because, and it causes the proliferation of nonprofits. And the very first person who did this particular capstone program we had at the time did it with a nonprofit that had a particular mission. I won't get into it. Don't want to out these folks. But at the end of her presentation, some fella in the back, and these are all adult students, you know, they're not, we're not talking young people here. This guy in the back, who I think his background was an engineer, raised his hand and said, "Wouldn't therapy have just been cheaper?" And he was right, you know. I mean, the guy, the person who founded this nonprofit was really, he didn't think it through.
In a tough spot.
Well, yeah, he just didn't think through. It was clear based on the and the person whose nonprofit it was wasn't there. This was a project based on that person's nonprofit. So this woman was talking about the way she worked with them to help them in a particular aspect of the program. But it was clear that it was really difficult, and the person hadn't approached it as an organizational entity. I hesitate to say business because nonprofits aren't businesses. They're nonprofits. They have a lot of similar things, and there are things you can learn from that. And no, it just wasn't working.
So yeah, what I'm hearing. So the emotion of an experience kind of gave them the desire to make a difference through a nonprofit, but they kind of hadn't thought through, while nonprofits are not businesses, you do, just like when you're starting a business, have to wear a lot of hats and there's a lot of work involved. So it's tough to have that tenacity, probably, especially when you're going through some emotional times through that experience is what I'm hearing. And yeah, to do that due diligence. Yeah.
Yeah. The passion only gets you so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then at that point, you know, you have to treat it like an organization that needs to survive you, that needs to, you know, you have to look at target marketing. You have to look at why. I mean, one of the things that I say in my classes is that the difference between a business and a nonprofit is actually pretty fundamental, in that in a business, I give you a pen, say, and you give me 25 cents and we're done. You are the customer and you have received the impact of our, quote, mission, right, to make sure that people get pens. Mm-hmm. In a nonprofit, well, that's a bilateral relationship. In a nonprofit, it's trilateral. So my mission is to see that everybody who doesn't have a pen, who needs one, gets a pen. So I give you a pen because you're my mission recipient. Now I turn to the third person and I say, can you pay for that pen?
You have to inspire others to see your same vision.
Right. And to be donors.
Yes. Invest in your vision.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so now suddenly you have two customers, in quotes, and you have two marketing jobs, and you have all the whole thing just becomes so much more complex once you get beyond that bilateral. And in fact, you know, this is, you know, computers are zeros and ones, right? Mm-hmm. Just like businesses. And that, maybe that's why we do so well with businesses, or nonprofits are 012.
Right, right. Got it. Yes. Much more complex. I hadn't thought of it in that way.
It really amps that up.
So. Yeah. So tell me, what is the biggest internal or external challenge that you've had to overcome personally to work to make your mission, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah. You know, So I think the biggest challenge is self-confidence. Mm-hmm. It's just getting out there and saying, you know, I can do this. And have I overcome it? No. Every day
you do. Yes.
it's a struggle about, you know, am I good enough to do this? Can I manage the next step. Insofar as even in the business I'm in now, you know, the teaching part, I actually have some, I've developed some self-confidence in that. If I were to do the Myers-Briggs thing, it says teaching is something I do, but it wouldn't, I'm not like the flaming extrovert out there. And yet there are other parts of this, you know, there's the social media part, which I, there's the accounting and, you know, all the parts that you have to learn to do a business, and having the self-confidence to jump in and do those parts, which kind of gets to the other part, which I think, you know, I think is important in all this, is persistence. You know, you got to be with it every day. I think it's huge. There's few strike it rich moments at all. I think of, you know, the word suddenly is what people see when they haven't been watching all those small steps.
I love that. Suddenly is what they see when they haven't seen all those small steps.
So like, true. Suddenly, he did well, you know, this happened. It's like, suddenly to you.
Yes, I love that. And it's not like we're out there talking about as entrepreneurs, all the behind the scenes steps that we're taking and overcoming. And that's great. So tell me, so that can create some tough times. Like, let's just get real. We both know that. And people listening know that. So, how do you stay motivated and moving during those tough times?
Some days I don't. I guess knowing that, you know, if I get a paycheck job, as I call them, I wouldn't be doing better. I'd be more miserable than I am now. Realizing that all those monsters are much smaller than they appear in the mirror behind you, right? Kind of thing in the car. It's kind of taking persistence in a different way, that, you know, just you plod through some days and say that if it's tough, you know, you just kind of work it through until you manage it or get beyond it. There isn't a miracle, you know. I don't drink. there's a kind of a family history from both sides that suggests that drinking is not a good idea.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. It's like, you just do it anyway, right?
Yeah. You know, and
thank you for having that feeling. And, yes, I'm just going to do that anyway. Or thank you, amygdala. Thanks for saying that, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I'll say a lot of it is having having support systems and having somebody, you know, my wife is a great person to talk to, and she will, get me, if not literally slapping me back to sense, or figuratively doing that. She puts up with a lot and kind of rides the roller coaster with me on this, which is really nice. I mean, having somebody to be able to do that, even if they're not in the day of the day, but being able to bounce stuff off of is huge.
Yeah, that sounding board. So sometimes the positive motivator, sometimes the negative encourager. No, and writing it out with you. Yes, like we're in this together. That's some great advice for people who are embarking on making an impact. So what other words of wisdom do you have for others who want to make an impact? Do you have a little?
Speak up, ask questions, and simply do. It's just one of the things that drives me nuts is when you sit in a meeting or if you sit around in a classroom or something, and everybody's just like they're like sit like potatoes, you know, waiting for something to happen. And it's like, no, if you really want to see something happen, you at least got to speak up about it. You have to ask questions about it. And a lot of times you have to be the person to take the initiative. I think I have my mother to thank for all this. And I think to, and honestly, I think sometimes to the annoyance of other people, and that's okay. Sometimes I think a couple of folks would say, well, you know, you're a bit of a gadfly on some topic. And that's true, but, I have a hard time with folks whining about something that they aren't willing to at least take action or take a step in finding out about.
Thank you. I so agree. Actually, it's so funny. A lot of my business clients, well, and some of the nonprofits as well, I have this, it's simple. There's nothing magical about the form except kind of what it inspires in thought, which is a gripe and grumble form. Mm-hmm. And it just says, like, what are you frustrated about? What's at least one solution? And it's amazing how often the frustration isn't really worth even chatting about if you also have to come up with a solution.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, like that right. takes a little more thought. never mind.
And the nice thing about the nonprofit world is that it is built around solutions. I mean, even this fella who was obviously had a lot of passion and wasn't being very successful, I talked about earlier, mm-hmm. right? But he was in there pitching. He was trying to come up with a solution to something that really meant something important to him. Mm-hmm. And that's great because if you're, you know, it just isn't it's so hard just to, I just can't imagine doing otherwise. And that, to me, that really sparks a lot of passion, to me to help people solve a problem. I mean, one of the things I talk about, for example, in my classes is, you know, sounds kind of esoteric, I know, but can philanthropy survive outside of a democracy? And the answer fundamentally is no, that you can't have. And the reason why it can't is that when you start questioning things that are problems, mm-hmm. that philanthropy is often the way to go ahead and solve that problem. And mm-hmm. it's more than just, you know, it's giving money, but it's also giving your time and your talent, right?
Sure.
And if you're not in a democracy, you become suspect. Because non-democratic institutions want to be everything. And now you're being seditious by suggesting there's a problem and then coming in outside of their system and solving it. And
okay, wait a minute. I need a little more. Okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Maybe other people as they're listening are having this. Sorry. Wait. Okay. I don't even know what question is. Okay, thank you.
Let's go to North Korea, right?
Okay.
So totally not a democracy.
Correct.
If somebody, first of all, identifies, let's say that there's a water pollution problem, uh-huh. right? And they identify the problem. Well, first of all, you have questioned the state.
Mm-hmm.
You have questioned the fact that they can't do everything. And then when you come in to try to solve the problem, mm-hmm. now being a troublemaker by doing that, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in democracies, and like we have in the United States, and we'll get into
going into really scary territory right now. Okay.
but let's just say in an ideal democracy, right?
Yeah.
That one can identify a problem, and that you actually have an opportunity to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because philanthropy and organizing a nonprofit is a way of solving that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting back to what we were talking about before, about one of the things that I, these kind of words of wisdom, right, mm-hmm. is being able to, we have a great opportunity to speak up the question to do through our nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And nonprofits are our conduit in an organizational way to make that happen.
Okay. I love that.
Sorry for getting in the weeds about this stuff.
No, I just, you know, hey, I teach Matt about there. Clarifying conversations. I can't leave it with me not understanding when I know other people might not be under. The illustration was really helpful. And also you have elevated the importance in people's minds of nonprofits.
Yeah,
I mean,
the, The other thing that folks don't see about nonprofits is that their role is to identify those people who are, in effect, deserving of their mission.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great example of it here in Philadelphia not so long ago, where you may have read about it in little snippets on the news. There was a kind of a scam perpetrated where this couple supposedly the woman had a car problem on a major highway. This homeless person supposedly gave her money to get a tow truck or to get something, you know, to address mm-hmm. the problem. Mm-hmm. That's money he supposedly had and all this. And they set up a GoFundMe page mm-hmm. To help this homeless man out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turned out, yeah, the guy really was homeless. But that's about where the truth of all this ended. They fabricated the whole thing. They raised more than $400,000 to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so giving directly people have this idea sometimes that, well, why do we need nonprofits? You know, can't we just give right to the people who need the help and all this? And I think that's admirable.
Mm-hmm.
But had this been done through a nonprofit, they would have discovered that the incident actually didn't happen, that this person needed other issues. Mm-hmm. He had other issues to solve.
It wasn't the full due diligence that would have happened through a nonprofit.
And the whole thing was a fraud to the people donating that it would have been, because it was such an emotional story that way.
Mm-hmm. And money alone in and of itself isn't always going to be the solution either, even if that story hadn't been fabricated,
Yeah, well, and it turns out, actually, it's interesting, this morning in the paper was kind of the rest of the story for those people who remember Paul Harvey. The fella who was the homeless man was picked up in Philadelphia. This actually all happened in New Jersey. And back with a lot of the same problems, apparently, mm-hmm. that he had before, despite mm-hmm. the fact that he had those resources available to them because the other two people took a lot of them, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, you have given us so much to think about today. So to kind of recap a little bit, one, I'm going to say the name of your...
Oh, I'm sorry, if I may.
Oh, go ahead.
Keep ourselves clean and clear all this. We will say alleged... For all that stuff.
Yes. Right.
Alleged.
You're just reporting on what you read in the...
Right, exactly.
Saw in the news and you're...
Yeah.
You are... you're assuming that reporters, journalists did their due diligence and now you're just kind of, telling about what you read about.
It's an object lesson for us.
Yes, exactly. Only use sources with journalistic, true journalistic oversight, right? Editorial oversight. You've shared that every day you need to just work on having the self-confidence, tell yourself I can do it, I'm good enough.
Yeah.
And that as you learn all the different parts of making your impact, well, I think maybe the underscore in that was fake it till you make it. Like, take the parts and celebrate the parts that you know and are already good at, and then pat yourself on the back as you learn the additional things and pull in other resources if you need to, and persistence, and have that support system around you. I call it my team Kirsten. Maybe you call it your team Matt. I want to tell everyone the name of your website again. So it's nonprofit.courses.
Yep.
So go there and check it out and find all of the great free and some paid resources that you can, with great time efficiency, take advantage of those right from the comfort of either your home or your office. And that's great. And
or on the bus on your way home.
Yes. And then we learn more that we have elevated the importance of nonprofits through the story that you shared, a couple of stories that you shared in illustration. So I really appreciate that. So thank you, Matt, so much for joining me today. And again, look for his episode. There'll be a show notes page that will include notes from all the wealth of information that he just shared today, and also the website if you want to check it out. So thank you for joining us today. Go to defeatthedrama.com, click on the podcast tab, and you will find Matt Hugg's episode. So thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you so much.
And everyone, get out there and make your big impact and make it a great day.